From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Jessica Yellen in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. For more than 80 years, the Little House books have delighted children with tales of covered wagons, churning butter, and life on the prairie. The television show Little House on the Prairie was a classic in American households. It was crafted from the real-life memories of Laura Ingalls Wilder. And now we get the unvarnished truths from her newly released autobiography. It's edgier and grittier than the one we knew as kids. This hour on Point, Laura Ingalls Wilder and a fresh look at her life. You can join us on air or online. How did you discover Laura Ingalls Wilder? Are you a fan of the books, the TV show? What makes them so enduring? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from Portland, Oregon is Pamela Smith Hill. She is a Wilder expert and editor of the new book, Pioneer Girl, the annotated autobiography, just out this week. Pamela, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Jessica. Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks for being with us. I want to start by taking us back to one of Wilder's earlier children's books. This is from the beginning of Ingalls' family journey as they're off to build their little house on the prairie. A long time ago, when all the grandfathers and grandmothers of today were little boys and little girls, or very small babies, or perhaps not even born, Pa and Ma, Mary and Laura, and baby Carrie left their little house in the big woods of Wisconsin. They drove away and left it lonely and empty in the clearing among the big trees, and they never saw that little house again. Pamela, I have to say I'm a little surprised we are getting more online responses and on Facebook to this show than just about any show I've seen since I've been here. What is it about these books that's so enduring?
I, too, have been surprised by the reception we're getting, not only to this book, but to a class that I have been teaching for Missouri State University. We had almost 7,000 people sign up for a free online class on Laura Ingalls Wilder. I was expecting maybe 150 students. I would have felt really happy with that. I think Laura Ingalls Wilder speaks directly to the hearts of her readers, and she does that through this very unique, warm, and intimate personal voice. All of her novels have this voice. I think what's brilliant about it as well is that as the main character, Laura Ingalls, ages, the voice becomes more mature as well. It's a very difficult thing to pull off artistically, to maintain consistency in a voice and yet age it. But the voice is so open and intimate that readers can bring to the story their own feelings and emotions and feel that Laura Ingalls Wilder is speaking directly to them. The other thing that I think is unique about the voice is that despite its childlike qualities, particularly in the first few books, the writing is very eloquent, graceful, and lyrical. So the work is at once artistic and personal, and I think that is what is so unique about the story.
Some of the people writing in on Facebook have specific visual memories from passages in the book. Jennifer Lennox Craig writes, "When I wake up a little cold in my main lake house, I remember her description of awakening with snow on her comforters. The snow had filtered in through the roof boards." Evelyn Eady writes, "Laura, as depicted in the books, was my childhood hero, and she might be again as I prepare to build my tiny off-grid retirement house, tiny house in the big woods." And here's one more from Jennifer Lennox Craig. "I read these stories aloud to my daughter, and we both enjoyed her courage. A line from one of the stories where Laura was exulting in some outdoor winter sports has become a family classic for dismissing the cold. Quote, it was only 20 below." So as you say, these passages and this intimate narrative stays with people. Would you just remind us, Pamela, how many books were there? How popular were they even while she was still alive?
During her lifetime, Laura Ingalls Wilder published 8 books in the Little House series, beginning with Little House in the Big Woods, which was published in 1932, and ending with These Happy Golden Years, which was published in the early 1940s. So there were 8 books in the original series. After her death, Wilder died in 1957. In the early 1970s, one more book was published, the first 4 years. And this book is a very different kind of Little House book. It was actually written for adults. And Laura Ingalls Wilder herself considered that the series ended with these happy golden years, but we now have 9 books, and now we have her autobiography as well.
Pamela, you have a reading, a passage from one of the books that you're going to read to us. I just want to tell our listeners what's happening in the scene. It's an opening scene of Laura's autobiography, actually, Pioneer Girl. And here the Ingalls family stops their wagon where they plan to build their home.
And I should point out to your listeners that this is the opening page from Pioneer Girl. Wilder's autobiography starts with the Ingalls family's move into Indian Territory in Kansas, and that's going to be a surprise to some readers because the Little House series actually begins in Wisconsin in the Big Woods. So just to clarify, this is the opening scene in Pioneer Girl. Once upon a time, years and years ago, Pa stopped the horses in the wagon they were hauling away out on the prairie in Indian Territory. "Well, Caroline," he said, "here's the place we've been looking for. Might as well camp." So Pa and Ma got down from the wagon. Pa unhitched the horses and picketed them, tied them to long ropes fastened to wooden pegs driven in the ground so they could eat the grass. Then he made the campfire out of bits of willow twigs from the creek nearby. Ma cooked supper over the fire, and after we had eaten, Sister Mary and I were put to bed in the wagon, and Pa and Ma sat a while by the fire. Pa would bring the horses and tie them to the wagon before he and Ma came to sleep in the wagon, too. I lay and looked through the opening in the wagon cover at the campfire and Pa and Ma sitting there. It was lonesome and so still with the stars shining down on the great flat land where no one lived. There was a long, scared sound off in the night, and Pa said it was a wolf howling. It frightened me a little, but we were safe in the wagon with its nice, tight cover to keep out the wind and the rain. The wagon was home. We had lived in it so long, and Pa's rifle was hanging at the side where he could get it quickly to shoot the wolf. He wouldn't let wolves nor anything hurt us, and Jack, the brindle bulldog, was lying under the wagon guarding us, too. And so we fell asleep.
And that's a passage, again, not from the Little House books, from her actual autobiography. Would you tell us a little bit about this autobiography, which was written first?
The autobiography was completed in May of 1930. It was written on Big Chief and 50-50 tablets, just as Wilder would later write all of her Little House books. And she wrote this autobiography, the rough draft, using a pencil. And she presented it to her daughter, Rose Wilder Lane, in May 1930. Now, I should point out to listeners that the autobiography was written for adults, not for children. Wilder hoped that it would be published in serial form in a national magazine like the Saturday Evening Post or the Ladies' Home Journal. And then perhaps if the serial did well in magazine form, she could resell it as a book. So she was really hoping to sell this manuscript twice. And she also hoped that her daughter, Rose Wilder Lane, who was a well-known author herself with very good literary connections, would help her edit and market the piece so that it would sell successfully to a major magazine.
But it didn't get published during her lifetime. Why?
No, it wasn't published during her lifetime. I think there are several reasons why it didn't get published. First, this was the Depression, 1930, and magazines and the publishing industry itself had fallen on hard times. So a lot of the magazines that Wilder and Lane approached about publication for the manuscript had a huge backlog of manuscripts already, and they really couldn't afford to take a risk on an unknown because, of course, at the time, no one really knew who Laura Ingalls Wilder was. Rose Wilder Lane sent the first few pages of Pioneer Girl off to her literary agent in New York right away, and he was very impressed with it. Lane later sent the whole manuscript to her literary agent after she had typed it and made some minor editorial changes, and he decided it just wasn't really a very good manuscript. He didn't think it was marketable. So Rose Wilder Lane, however, really believed it was a strong manuscript, and she started marketing it herself. And the manuscript had several near misses, particularly with the Saturday Evening Post. The publisher there had very good things to say about the book. But over time, momentum for the adult version of Pioneer Girl kind of faded. And along the way, sometime during the summer of July or August of 1930, a juvenile version of Pioneer Girl evolved.
Was that Rose's idea?
And it was Rose's idea. Apparently, without her mother's knowledge, Rose Wilder Lane, who had been working with her mother on editing Pioneer Girl and trying to make it more rigorous, more adult, kind of tougher, had pulled out a variety of really vivid, warm, cozy scenes about Wilder's life in Wisconsin. She took them out of the adult version, but for some reason, she decided to put them and string them together and put them into a manuscript much shorter and that was targeted for children. We now know that juvenile version of Pioneer Girl as When Grandma Was a Little Girl. And it went on to become Little House in the Big Woods.
Great. We'll continue this discussion on the other side of the break. Pamela Smith-Hill, please stay with us. And now you're listening to music inspired by the books. It's Buffalo Gals by Paws Fiddle Band. I'm Jessica Yellen, in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. This is On Point. I'm Jessica Yellen, in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking this hour about Laura Ingalls Wilder and her children's books, which were published more than 80 years ago. Now her autobiography, out this week, Pioneer Girl, is shedding new light on the Ingalls family journey across America. We're talking with Pamela Smith-Hill, editor of the big new look at the life of Laura Ingalls Wilder, Pioneer Girl, the annotated autobiography. And also joining us now from Longmont, Colorado, is Connie Newman. She's co-founder of the Laura Ingalls Wilder Legacy and Research Association. She worked as a teacher and a children's librarian for more than 30 years. Connie, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
So I understand that you have traveled to all of Laura's homesteads. Is that true? And what drives your fascination with her?
Well, I have. I took a little trip on the prairie in 1989. I had wanted to visit all the little house sites ever since I had started teaching back in the 70s, and went in my little covered wagon, my red Pontiac at the time, and camped my way along the prairie and visited all the little house sites in the Midwest. I did not make it out to the Farmer Boy site until later, but spent that summer photographing and trying to see Laura's world from the little house books. And made a slide tape presentation for my students back at school and got some credit, of course, for teacher credit for doing a little program like that. But it's kind of taken off from there, and a fun interest.
It sure is, and it's also
favorite author.
Become a career for you too. It sounds like. Let's listen to some folks who are big fans of the work and are calling in to tell us about it. Here's Miriam calling from Dayton, Ohio. Hi, Miriam. What's on your mind?
Hi, Jessica. I just remember my mother, when we were little kids, I have a brother and a sister, she read those stories to us every night before we went to bed, and we completed the whole series. So it's such a warm memory.
It's so nice, Miriam. A lot of people have this connection between the books and their own childhood and histories with their parents. Let's take a call from William, calling in from Lincoln, Illinois. Hi, William. What's on your mind?
Hi, Jessica. I just wanted to mention that, of course, my mother grew up with these books. And when we were young, she read them to us. And, of course, we saw the television show. And when my children were very small, she bought the entire series for them. And I read it to them at bedtime. And what did you say, 80 years? This thing endures and endures and endures. I think at end, it's about family and about love and about taking care of the people around you. and it belongs in the canon of American literature. It's right up there with The Wizard of Oz, or, you know, even with Narnia. I mean, it is a giant among American literature, in my opinion.
William, thanks for the call. A lot of people share this experience. And here's John calling from Neosho, Missouri. Hi, John. What are your thoughts?
Hi, Jessica. I just wanted to say I grew up with a little house, and I'm so grateful that Pam's written this autobiography, and I can't wait to read it. I grew up with the TV show and the books, and had a huge crush on Laura. And now, today, with an 8 and a 10-year-old, we're sharing the book series with them as well. And it was so influential on my childhood, and there's really nothing more pure.
Thanks for your call. Obviously, this is passed from generation to generation and holds a cherished place in a lot of people's hearts. Connie, in a way, Connie Newman, who is a co-founder and board member of the Laura Ingalls Wilder Legacy and Research Association, is her story, in a way, a history of America.
It truly is. And as a teacher and a school librarian, it's part of the curriculum that's universal through most elementary schools at some point. And living out in the West in Colorado, we, of course, were able to incorporate that into the Colorado story, even though the Ingalls never made it this far west. But it's that timeless story of people making a home and making a life. And what I love to do with children now is bring out, you know, what the kids did back in those days as far as chores and their responsibility and obeying their parents and things like that, that are just what we call old-fashioned values, but those are basic life values and life skills that kids relate to, because they're right there in the middle of it, right there. And that's how they learn history, is hands-on. But it's so perfect for a history.
It's a very intimate way to tell a piece of American history and the hard work and hardscrabble ways of the pioneers. Pamela Smith Hill, author of the annotated, editor, I should say, of the annotated autobiography by Laura Ingalls Wilder. It's called Pioneer Girl. I want to ask you a little bit more of the historical context. A lot of it is beloved and charming, but there's also components that touch on class issues, also race issues. A fair number of people are writing in on Twitter asking, will we get into the, quote, racist elements of this series? A fair amount of prejudice in these books.
Well, I am totally in agreement with the sensitivity issue here. I feel that while the Little House books shed a great deal of light on American history, they need to be paired with other writers and other books that tell a slightly different story or a different perspective. I suspect that most of your callers are concerned about one book in particular, which is at once the most beloved book in the series for many people and one that is also the most reviled, and that is Little House on the Prairie itself. And that deals with the Ingalls family's experience in Indian Territory on the Osage Diminished Reserve, where Charles and Caroline Ingalls settled illegally. They were squatting on Indian land. They had no right to be there. In fact, the census taker of 1870 makes a note on the page where the Ingalls family name appears, along with all the other settlers in that county, that the settlers had no right to be there. And in the book, Wilder does depict attitudes that many settlers had that we would consider racist. We have to remember, however, that Wilder was writing in 1930. And if you read the books closely, I think you come away with a more subtle and nuanced look at this controversy, because Charles Ingalls himself seems to have almost an inherent respect for the American Indians around him. And unlike Ma and many of the other settlers who both fear and revile the Indians living close by, Pa has some real respect for them and insight, and is the voice of reason when a lot of the other settlers panic and are concerned that violence is going to break out on the Osage Reserve. But at the same time, while Charles Ingalls seems to respect the Osage Indians he's living around, he's also ready to displace them and eager to take their land. So I think the book is a really interesting jumping-off point for teachers, librarians, and parents to discuss the complexities of settling the American West and what that meant to the Native peoples that the pioneers displaced. And I would recommend that parents, teachers, and librarians pair a book like Little House on the Prairie with books by Native peoples. I'm thinking of Virginia Driving Hawks Nevy, for example. She writes both histories of American Indians as well as fiction. So to give young readers a more full and complete picture of what the West was really like in the late 19th century.
There's also the question of the woman's role in the book. I can tell you from my own experience, I didn't read the books because my mother thought that she didn't like the way they portrayed women when I was a child. And yet many of our comments are from women readers who say they found their voice through Laura because she's a strong female protagonist. Was it rare at the time that Laura Ingalls Wilder wrote Pamela, was it rare to have a tough female protagonist at the center of a book?
I would say in the early 1930s, yes, it was a rare event to have a strong female protagonist. Now, in American literature, we had Jo March from the 1860s, but Little Women by Louisa May Alcott was a breakthrough book. And during the late 19th and early 20th century, most of the female characters in books for young readers were obedient and docile, and they behaved themselves. In 1930, however, young American readers were introduced to a totally different kind of character, and that was Nancy Drew. And Nancy Drew, even though she too emerged on the scene during the Depression, as did Laura Ingalls, was a very capable, independent, smart young woman. So I think when Wilder began to write the Little House series, the mood in the country was shifting toward creation of more memorable, more dynamic, stronger, more capable heroines. But Laura Ingalls Wilder was kind of in on the ground floor of that movement.
Let's take a pause for a moment and go to the phones again. Emma is calling in from Montgomery, Alabama. Emma, hi, what's on your mind?
Hi, I just wanted to talk about how the book impacted me. You know, I was born in New Lagos, Nigeria. I moved here when I was about 8 years old, and the first book, my stepfather, he was from New York, the first book he ever got me was the Little House on the Prairie series. And, you know, me not speaking a lot of English, I learned how to read English and how to speak English reading those books. And, you know, I thought that's how America was when I first got here, but those books just have impacted my life. Even now, I'm 28 years old. 20 years later, I still remember when I first got that book and when I first opened it, how it made me feel. And it's a testament to the writer.
Thanks so much for your call, Emma, from Montgomery, Alabama. And Kathleen is calling in from Lexington, Massachusetts. Excuse me. Hi, Kathleen. What's on your mind?
Hi. Well, I just want to say I am very fortunate that I have an autographed copy of These Happy Golden Years. It was a gift from my husband, and he will never be able to top it. It's just so amazing to hold something that Laura held, even if it was just for a moment to autograph it. But the way I explained it to my kids, what makes it so special is I said, now you love Harry Potter. Imagine if Harry Potter wasn't a fictional character, if he was real and you were holding something that he held. And I think that I've sort of made an impression on them. And I also think one of the reasons these books endure so well is that when you read them as children, you're seeing things through Laura's eyes as a child. But when you reread them as an adult, you start to see things through Ma and Pa's eyes, and you can appreciate just how, you know, the difficulties they faced. I remember one story where Pa was lost and there was a blizzard, and Laura talked about how Ma got the shotgun out and put it across her lap and was sitting in the rocking chair. And as an adult, now you're starting to think, what was that experience like for her, imagining her husband perhaps dead, and she's alone with three little girls and a shotgun, and that's it.
Kathleen, a great call. Thanks so much for your thoughts. Good way to put it. It was the Harry Potter of its era. Connie, I want to ask you a little bit about her relationship, Laura Ingalls Wilder's relationship with her daughter, Rose, who helped write the books. And some say she was the ghostwriter for the books, in fact, but that's a matter of some dispute.
Well, and that is a matter of a dispute, but I think as Pamela Smith Hill has so eloquently written in her biography, as well as in the class that we just finished with Missouri State, the part that Rose took, I believe, was acting as an editor and a catalyst for getting things published. And there is certainly a voice of Rose coming through the books in certain places. I've read all of Rose's writings and feel like I know her too, but that's where the mother worked with the daughter, and the daughter worked with to bring out the best of her mother, too.
And Connie, I'm curious, do you have a favorite one of these books?
That's always a tricky part, because one of the callers said, you know, you read them as a child, and then you read them as an adult with different eyes. And, of course, using them with kids over the years, it's different. My favorite book is Whatever We're Doing at the Time. But I think in the long haul, one of my favorite books of all is The Long Winter, which is the most dramatic to me of character as well as just courage right there through all the story and the desperation in that story.
Pamela, I'm curious, do you have a favorite book?
I do. When I was growing up, my favorite was These Happy Golden Years, because young readers like to project on a main character, and they like to read about the life of an older character. And so when I was a kid reading the series for the first time, I wanted to be grown up, and I wanted to be teaching school, and I wanted to have a romance like Laura did with Almanzo. But now, as an adult, and I think the caller identified a really good point. What's so strong and artistic, I think, about these books are that you can read them as a child and you see one thing. You go back and reread them as an adult and you can see that Wilder was really an artist and she was a master with her presenting her material for dual audiences. So I have to agree with Connie. At this point, my favorite book is The Long Winter, because of its sheer artistry, its force, and its drama. It's a real artistic achievement.
Pamela, please stay with us. We'll come on back after the break and talk to you. Connie Newman, co-founder of the Laura Ingalls Wilder Legacy and Research Association. Connie, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
This is On Point. I'm Jessica Yellen in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about Laura Ingalls Wilder, pioneer life, American expansion into the West, and the stories, the books, and the television shows that it inspired. We're talking with Pamela Smith Hill, editor of Pioneer Girl, the annotated autobiography. And joining us now from Miami is Dean Butler. He played Laura's husband, Almanzo Wilder, in the television series Little House on the Prairie. Dean, glad to have you with us.
Hi, Jessica. It's nice to be here.
And from San Francisco, Karen Grassley is with us. She played Carolyn Ingalls, better known as Ma, on The Little House on the Prairie. Karen, thanks to you as well.
Hi, Jessica. Good to be here.
So let's start off by playing a little bit from the TV show. This is from a 1979 episode of Little House on the Prairie, where Walnut Grove's new teacher, Ms. Eliza Jane Wilder, brings her brother Almanzo to town. Almanzo, played by Dean, and Laura, played by Melissa Gilbert, would later marry. Here's when they first met.
Pleasure to meet you. Manly, Well, you must admit it's got a virile ring to it.
I'll see you tomorrow, Laura.
Bye-bye.
Well, Dean, just listening to that, does it bring back some memories of being a part of American history?
Well, I always, that scene was a wonderful scene to be, to play and be a part of. It obviously was the introduction of Laura and Almanzo on the program. It was a turning point in the trajectory of the show. So it was a very, it was a very important thing. You know, I had not read the books as a kid growing up. So I just knew I was coming in to be part of the program. And thrilled to be part of the program because it was so successful. But I didn't know the deep history of this with American readers and readers all over the world for that matter. So, you know, the mail that we got as a result of this, because the people who knew the story knew what was coming. And so there was this really wonderful level of excitement that surrounded the introduction of the character. So, you know, I am just forever grateful for having been a part of this. It's just been an amazing thing in my life.
Karen, Dean, I would ask you both to consider whether there's anything about Laura Ingalls Wilder's real life that you'd want to know, and you can pitch those questions to Pamela, who's on the line with us. But while I let you think, Karen, you know, you played Ma. Could you imagine living the life of Ma, or did you have, after you left the set, were you just especially glad to go out and have fast food and a blow dryer at home?
Well, I was very happy to have blue jeans after wearing those tight boots and tight clothes in the heat and in the cold. And I was very, very happy for washing machines and so on. I think that we're very, very lucky to live as women now and have the choices and the freedom that we have. So very much appreciated what modern life has permitted females. But I did imagine what it was like to live as Ma again and again. And my own mom was a one-room school teacher when she was a young woman, and I had heard her stories and I had her experience to call on, which was fortunate because when I was cast, I only had about a week before we started work, and like Dean, in my case, the books had been out of print. They were exactly the kinds of books that I absolutely loved as a child, but they had not been available. So they were all new to me, and I was reading like crazy, you know, to bone up on this family and on the period. And so yeah, I was very, very happy to get back into my sneakers.
I bet. Pamela Smith-Hill, you edited Laura Ingalls Wilder's autobiography, Pioneer Girl. I wonder if you'd comment on the franchise that her books became. This TV show was a wild success.
It was a huge success, and I found over time that there are three kind of different categories of Wilder fans. There are the purists who really are passionate about the books and not so passionate perhaps about the TV series. Then there are television fans who haven't read the book, have almost no exposure to the book. And I'm finding that this tends to be a younger generation. And they have no experience reading Laura Ingalls Wilder's books. In fact, I taught an academic class through Missouri State University last winter, and I think only two of my students had actually read the books. And then there's a third group who embrace both. They love the books. They love the television series. They are very accepting of the differences between the books and the series. And feel like both have a place in American culture.
Dean, you played Manly, her husband, on the show, and, you know, he was kind of a heartthrob. Was it nice to be involved in a show where the heartthrob came with a little bit of innocence?
I think that's a wonderful descriptor of it, too. I think because of the nature of what the show was and what the underlying material was and simply the age difference between Melissa Gilbert, the actress, and Dean Butler, the actor, it was very important that the tone of the program or the tone of the romance be kept very simple and pure. And I think we were able to do that. You know, something that Pamela said, and Pamela, it's wonderful to hear your voice. I always love listening to you talk about Laura Ingalls Wilder. You just make it poetic, and I really love it. I think something that's really important that for those people who love both the books and the series, I think something that is so important and wonderful about the show is that while the show by necessity deviated from the facts of the books, which of course the purists absolutely get up in arms about, but I think what we were able to do always, and I'm sure I think Karen would agree, is that we were able to maintain the tone and the feeling of the books. The innocence of the books was with the music, with obviously the casting, Michael Landon's scripting. We went away from the books, but we maintained the feeling of them, which allowed people to have a sense of contact with the original material.
Let's take some calls again from some fans of the series. Stella is calling from Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin. Hi, Stella. What's on your mind?
Hi, Jessica. I just wanted to share an experience that I had my parents for Christmas one year when I was about 10 or 12 years old gave me these happy golden years as a gift. And for years after that, I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin, and in the summer during the dog days when it was so hot and humid, I just couldn't bear to move. We didn't have air conditioning. I would get that book out and I would reread it. And every time when I came to the scene where Almanzo has come to pick Laura up, she's away from home teaching, he's come to pick her up in the middle of a blizzard, where the thermometer had gone down to something like 80 below and frozen, and the temperature was still dropping, and he drove her home and kept telling her she had to stay awake or she would freeze to death, I would end up being wrapped up in a blanket, shivering. So it was wonderful air conditioning.
Thanks so much for the call, Stella. This is Nettie calling in from Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Nettie.
Hi, Jessica. Hi, everyone. I am one of those people in the third group who loved them both. My grandmother was also a teacher in a one-room schoolhouse, and she read the books to me every night before bed. And what a hero Laura was to everyone I knew on the prairie. Because here she was, and we recognized her, and we recognized people that she loved and experiences she went through. And then when the television show came on, oh, my gosh. It was like, whoa, there was South Dakota on the map, on TV. And all the actors, everybody you could just tell really handled it with love and respect. And when I was a kid, when I was in my 20s, I was hanging out with one of my girlfriends, Carrie Palmland, who is from DeSmet, South Dakota. And I'm 25, and when I find out that she got to be Laura Ingalls Wilder in the parade during Laura Ingalls Wilder days, you would have thought I had met, like, the queen.
It's not too late. You can still play her in a parade.
Right, exactly. It was amazing. And so, you know, gosh, these are books that will be read to my grandchildren, male or female. I felt sorry for my husband when I found out his childhood had been neglected because he had never read these books. And we read them now in our 30s, reread them. And the perspective that changes as you read them when you're a parent, the fact that they almost starved to death. Things I forgot when I was a kid, but now I realize, wow, they were amazing people. Thank you all so much.
Nettie, thank you for the call. And let's take another. This is John calling from Austin, Texas. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Well, hi, Jessica. I don't want to disparage the books because I had a certain level of enjoyment of them when I was a kid and never really got into the series that much. But, you know, what makes me uncomfortable is to kind of get the sense that they are an accurate descriptors of historical reality, and the fact is that they're idealizations, and they were pretty much falsifications of lived reality of frontier America in the first place, and they're completely idealized now in a way that makes him kind of like the Leave It to Beaver of the 1930s.
John, thanks for the call. And that's a great pivot point, Pamela, to talk a little bit about Pioneer Girl, the autobiography. Would you point out some of the key ways her actual life was harder, grittier than what we saw in the books?
Well, I want to address a couple of points. I think your caller was correct. I think the Little House books have this idealized sense about them. And I think if you read the books closely, certainly Wilder softened her experiences as a child. And that comes through very clearly when you read Pioneer Girl. But we also have to remember, too, that the books have, the novels themselves have a certain grittiness about them. Wilder was writing in the 1930s and 1940s, and children's literature was, in fact, a more idealized genre then than it is now. So there were some topics that were simply off limits to Wilder. And in fact, most of your listeners who know the books well will remember the scene in These Happy Golden Years when Mrs. Brewster is holding a butcher knife over her husband's bed as Laura is on a couch looking through, peering through a curtain. She's living with the family at this point. It's a very, very vivid scene. Wilder's editor at Harper & Brothers almost took that scene out. She felt it was too strong and too gritty and too edgy for young readers. So while your caller is right, we can't view the Little House books entirely as history because they are fiction. Wilder took her novels as far as she could, given the period in which she was writing. Mm-hmm. Looking back at Pine...
I just want to congratulate you on your book and thank you for all this research that you've done. And
thank you.
Expressing so well, I don't think that Laura Ingalls Wilder herself ever pretended that she was an historian or that she was, trying to describe reality exactly. And I think that comes over in the books. And I think we tried to adopt very much of a let's pretend tone.
That's Karen Grassley, who played Ma on the show.
On the show.
And I'm curious, Karen, do you continue to read about Laura Ingalls Wilder? Is it something that has stayed present in your life?
I can't say that I do. I have to say that it was so intense, 8 years on the prairie, that it was about all I needed, a pioneer life. Even let's pretend pioneer life, you know? So I have, my reading has been more in other areas.
Do people still identify you, or did they for years, as Ma?
Very much so. And it's, you know, what's funny now is I wear my hair quite short. And, of course, I'm old. So people see me and they go, do you work for the airline? Or
you look familiar, but they're not sure how.
Right. Were you the reverend's wife? You know, they're trying to figure out how I seem familiar to them because I was in their living rooms for so long.
Throughout their childhood. Pamela, you know, I wonder if there's anything you found out about Laura Ingalls Wilder from the autobiography that fans of the books would want to know about her life.
Well, I'm not sure that fans would necessarily want to know this, but when I read Pioneer Girl the first time, when I was researching my biography back in 2005, early on in Pioneer Girl, I read a passage about Jack, the brindle bulldog. Now, I have to confess to everybody that I love dogs. I loved Jack. Maybe, I think Jack might be my favorite canine character in American literature. So I came to this passage, and it's as Charles and Caroline and the family are leaving Indian Territory, and Pa trades Jack along with the horses for a different team. And I had to read that passage over and over again. But Jack is completely a fictional creation in the Little House series, and that surprised me.
Ah, so there was no abandoned dog in the real world. Thanks so much. to all of you. What a wonderful story and discussion. And I love the fact that this has endured and resonates with so many people over so many years. Pamela Smith Hill, editor of Pioneer Girl, the annotated autobiography, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
Dean Butler, Laura's husband, Almanzo Wilder, in the TV series Little House on the Prairie. Dean, thanks to you too.
A pleasure.
And Karen Grassley, the actress who played Caroline Ingalls in Little House on the Prairie. Karen, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
You can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org, and follow us on Twitter or find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. I'm Jessica Yellen. This is On Point.